Welcome to Welch Avenue Baptist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to see each and every one of you this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you. Ask you to fill out the little visitor card you'll find in front of you. Place an offering plate. She comes around so we can have a record of your visit. We greatly appreciate that. If you join us online this morning, we want to welcome you as well. And ask you to consider being right here in the sanctuary with us. Experience what God is doing at Robinson Avenue Baptist Church. Speaking of that, let me share with you a little bit about what's going on at RABC and you can get involved with it today. Of course, after services, we're going to have a dinner on the ground at 4:30 p.m. It's going to be our United Baptist Association of Texas associational annual meeting. We'll have that dinner on the ground at 4:30. We'll have a slight business session around 5:30. We'll be broke up into a couple of groups. And then we'll meet in the sanctuary at 6 for our evening worship and our final business for the association. So thank you, RABC, for hosting our associational annual. Be in prayer for that. We'll have a large crowd this evening. So get ready for that. I'm going to invite you to come be a part of me. Come eat with us. It's going to be a great, great, great time and a wonderful time of fellowship. And Robinson Avenue is going to be leading in the worship. So please be in prayer for us as we'll have sister churches here with us as well. All right. So that's going to conclude our Sunday evening services. However, we do pick up with our normal services this week. We'll continue with ladies' Bible study on Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. and at 6:30 p.m. Don't forget, we'll have Wednesday night services right here in the sanctuary at 6:30. And Thursday, the men will have their Bible study at 6:30 as well. If you missed out on the men's prayer breakfast this Saturday, you missed out on the blessing. The menu is always wonderful. They have sausage gravy, they have biscuits, they have sausage, they have eggs, they have coffee, orange juice, and biscuits, and what's not to like. Praise God. Come and be with that. And they had a wonderful devotion this Saturday from Brother Mark Wheelis. And so I understand we're actually getting ready to have our next devotion from Brother Joe Allen. So I'm excited about that. So be in prayer for that as we do that next third Sunday coming up in May for men's prayer breakfast. So be in prayer for that. Speaking of Brother Joe, he is now the head of our security department here at Robinson Avenue Baptist Church. And he's asked me to remind you that there will be a security meeting coming up in May. So be prepared for that. That will be on the first Saturday of May. So start praying about that. If you're interested in working in RABC security, get with Brother Joe and see how he can put you to work inside of our security team. All right. So other than that, we have a couple of other events that are coming up or you can get involved in. Number one, next Saturday, church, we'll be having our Robinson Avenue Baptist Church annual. We do this twice a year, Rummage and Vendor Sale. And what this does is we just have a large conglomeration of vendors to come in. We have a lot of people who rent tables or buy tables from RABC and set up their own displays and sell some of their homemade goods. Sometimes it's just a rummage sale, as I said before. And either way, they have a lot of fun selling their items, and we have a lot of fun rummaging through them. And what they do is they rent their slots, and those slot fees go to our Operation Christmas Child Shipping Fund. So if you haven't gotten your slot yet, there may be a few left. So you need to get with Sister Esther and see if there's any left in there, and you can get that slot there. Or spend some time next Saturday and come out and just peruse through our rummage and vendor sale. That's going to be from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Is that right, Sister Esther? So be in prayer about that. Come and be a part of that. Support Robinson Avenue and one of our wonderful mission opportunities ministries here at RABC, Operation Christmas Child. All right. Also, church, I want to remind you that there is another opportunity you can get involved with coming up in July. We'll be leaving out for Michigan. We're going to go and work with one of our sister churches in the Detroit area, just outside of Detroit, called Northfield Hill Baptist Church. We're going to help them with a vacation Bible school, and we're going to help them with a little spark of light in them. So be in prayer about that and see what God will have you to do and support us in that. Pray for us in that, and perhaps God will speak to you and your role in that as well. All right. With that being said, I do have a very special announcement I'm going to share with you. Some of you may know this, and some of you may not, but either way, I want to bring it to your attention. Robinson Avenue has a plethora of different kinds of people. We have PhDs here. Sure, we have doctors. We have GEDs here. Sure, we have un-high school graduates as well. We have people who speak English natively. We have people who speak English as a second language. We have a conglomeration of people, and I praise God for that. But on the occasion, we get one of those people that are recognized for doing something great. We had somebody recognized this past week for doing something great. And let me tell you
to brag on him for just a minute. He serves as one of our deacons here at Mount Sinai Baptist Church. He's not afraid to maintain his Christianity in a world where it's not popular to be Christian anymore. And on top of that, he maintains a Christian presence inside of the public school system. So I want to ask you if you will recognize our deacon, Brother Tad Vader, who made Teacher of the Year at Cottage Cove Independent School District. God bless you, Brother Tad. Thank you for that. Well done. Well done. Amen. In a hostile environment where Christianity is less than being popular, Brother Tad made Teacher of the Year. That's an accomplishment. That's God's blessing. That's God's seal of approval. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Our God is good. And thank you, Brother Tad, for being faithful and true in that. All right. I also have something else I want to share with you as our children's church and our nursery comes in. I'll give them just a second to do that. I have a wonderful treat for you. Our sister Amy and our sister Stephanie, who run our nursery department, love to teach our little ones about God. And they want to share with you on occasion what's going on back there in the nursery. Besides their artwork, which you might see on the board outside of the nursery, they love to put God's little artist's artwork up there. So stop and take a look at that every now and then and be blessed at what your children are up to have been doing. Let's see inside the nursery. There's a little sneak peek. So, Brother Tad, would you play that video for us? Amen. Boy, notice all the guys like abandoned her quick at the beginning. There's a spiritual lesson in that. And I want to bring this to you quickly now. And just to throw this out there for y'all, because I want you to know it's the year 2024. I want you to know that it's becoming harder and harder to be an outspoken Christian. It's becoming harder and harder to be a witnesser, a gospel cracker. They're looking at you like you have some kind of hate speech nowadays. But I want you to know, the closer you stand with God, the more the world is going to abandon you. But you're not going to be alone because He doesn't leave or forsake His children. Amen. Learn from those. Stand there in the presence of God, and the world will fall away, but God will be pleased in you. Anyways, with that being said, I'm going to ask you to pray with me today. Let's ask God's blessing upon Israel. Let's ask His blessing upon Jerusalem. Let's thank Him for the rain. And let's ask Him to let us have a wonderful service this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And oh, how we thank you for this day. Lord God, I'm asking you right now to take charge. Be glorified. Be magnified here in your church. Lord God, speak to us. Use us, Father God. As we worship you, may we worship you in truth and spirit. May every song, Lord, that we sing bring you glory. May it put a smile upon your face. And I pray, Lord God, your Holy Spirit would fall down like rain inside this sanctuary. Touch our hearts, Lord. To every anyone that needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior, anyone that needs to be a part of Robinson Avenue, let today be that day. And I also pray, Father God, that you reach out and touch Jerusalem today. Bring peace to them, Lord God. And I just pray that as you bring peace to Jerusalem, you bring the Jewish people to a loving, saving, personal relationship in you, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father God, you be with those at REBC who are out traveling, those who are out sick, those who are not feeling well, Lord God, let them know they're loved and they're prayed for. Bring them safely back to us and let us worship you this morning. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise and welcome one another.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. Wow. What a blessing. As our children depart, you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you may know, this is the roll call of faith, if you will. Hall of Fame. Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes in these moments of quiet, I can just feel every eye staring right at me. Oh, goodness gracious. The title of this morning's message is Four Crack Pot. Four Crack Pot. You ever called somebody a crack pot? I bet you have. If you're in Texas, you probably did. Boy, you're a crack pot. You know what else we call people? You are a nut. You're just a nut. My goodness. Crackpots. We're going to take a look at four crackpots, if you will, this morning. I want to share with you something neat. Several months ago, I wrote this message for the United Baptist Association of Texas to help encourage our pastors that sometimes we mess up, that sometimes we do the wrong things, sometimes we face the wrong things, and sometimes we interpret situations wrong, and you get a little crack in your pot, if you will. And people will call you, man, you're a crackpot, because they don't understand either what's happening then. And so I wanted to reassure them and to help them along their path. However, throughout the last couple of months, renovated and redirected and rewrote this message to apply with us. So bear with me as we take a look at four crackpots this morning. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm wondering if you might read with me verses 32 through 40. Bible says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting doing that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let's go to the Lord's prayer, shall we? Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I'm asking you to bless us. Touch us. Open us up, Lord, to hear from you. It's my prayer, Lord, if there be anyone this morning that needs to come to know your special Lord and Savior, that you let today be the day, or anyone who needs to be a part of your family at Rock Center Bank Church, that you let today be the day that will come and join your fellowship. Or perhaps, Lord, there's that one, like the four crackpots we're going to look at this morning. It feels like their sin or their doubt or their past is too strong for you to use it. I promise, Lord, I ask you, Lord, now that you do, you promise. There is nothing impossible for you. I pray, Father, that you would help them, reassure them, lead them, Lord, that they would come, find their rest in you. Those long-winded preachers, we need to take note of that verse. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, time does not permit me to tell you these things. You know, when you're running out of time, we need to summarize and get to the main point as fast as we can. Can I get an amen on that? Rookie preachers make the mistake of circling the field and doing a lot of touch and go. And now, just to remind you, my rookie sermon was given right here at Rock Center Baptist Church almost 30 years ago, and it lasted about 8 minutes. Experienced preachers bring that claim in on a very close try. Writer of the book of Hebrews, and let me just throw it out there to you, I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I have my reasons for that, and now's not the time to get into it because I'm an experienced preacher. The writer of Hebrews must have been an experienced preacher because he says, I do not have time to tell about. Or as if you read some different versions of the Bible, one I have a little fun with this week is the Message. The Message puts it, I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. That is not an accurate translation, but I love the feeling they put it. I could go on, but I've run out of time. In my early years as a preacher, I routinely prepared enough material for 4 or 5 sermons. Always fearful that I would end way too soon. No one ever told me that preachers generally don't get fired for preaching short sermons. However, I have noticed that it can happen in reverse if you get fired for preaching too long sermons. Amen? It does happen the other way around. So I bring so much with me on my paper or in my head that I could never get to the end of the sermon on time. To me, the book of Hebrews 11, verse 32, is like a preacher. It's at 11:52 a.m., and he knows it's got to be finished by 11:55 so the congregation can sing that one final song and be done by 12 noon on the dot. That is just like this. But of course, that preacher has so much to say. And every preacher knows the sinking feeling, especially if you're only on point 4 of a 7-point sermon. And by the way, I never tell you how many points I have. You do have a few options, including turning over to 12:20 p.m. if you want, which is bound to frustrate everyone in the sanctuary. And let me tell you, I get those subtle clues. Frustrates everyone just wrapping up on time, or either we're keeping the rest of your sermonic gold for next Sunday in a sermon series. And I actually consider doing this as a sermon series for you. However, I shorten this to the point where we're going to look at all 4 relatively. So, in the last few minutes, we're going to take a look at a bumping land. How some of these preachers bring them in bumping lands. I've brought them in bumping lands before. Like all truly gifted speakers, though, the author of the book of Hebrews could read the clock on the wall. And he knew that he had plenty more material. And he truly did. If you read the book of Hebrews, had it theologically in depth. There was so much sermon gold there. It's a lifetime of preaching. He truly did. And good preachers always have more to say. He decided to have an already made his point. He didn't need to belabor it. He brought the plan in on the very first try, but he didn't have a gift for the book of man. Because he didn't have time to write out the full story of all the great heroes of the faith. He decided to mention only a few names and then go for the finish in verses 32 to 40 that we just read. In verse 32, he mentions 4 names in the period of the book of Judges. Then, of course, he mentions David and Samuel. Incidentally, you're Jewish. Some of you are Jewish. Some of you love the Old Testament like I do. You're online and you too love the Old Testament. You know so much about David already. You know so much about the prophet Samuel. Already. In fact, you probably know that they'll go to 4 names on. Author Hebrews simply called them the prophets. It took a conglomeration that included everyone from Elijah to Malachi. Now, David and Samuel, we can certainly understand because they stand head and shoulders above their contemporaries, men who walk by faith in the living God. Some of you know a lot about David. The Bible says he is a man after God's own heart. That's a guy to learn from, amen? There's also a lot to learn not to do from David, or just. Was he a great family man? No. How do I know that? Because, let me tell you only got room in the house for one woman. Somebody say no. Yeah, buddy, there's only room for one. Anything more than one, you are asking for major trouble. How's going to do that? Who are these other people? Who are these other ones? How did he pick them out? How did the author of the Hebrews pick them out? He names 4 men from the period of the Judges, and incidentally, the period of the Judges was a wild era in Israel's history when everyone did what my Bible says in Judges 21:25. They did what was right in their own eyes. It sounds a lot like the year 2024 in the United States, right? everyone does what's right in their own eyes. They've created their own churches. They created their own way of worship. They go around telling, I worship God how I want to worship God. And I worship God by getting drunk. I worship God by getting high. I worship God by being me. And they create their own church. Just to give you some theological taste, you know that's why we have so many denominations today? Because what happens is people get angry with what the Bible says and say, well, that's not how I'll interpret it, and I'll make it my own way. And we create our own church, a new church, a different church. Here's what we know about the four men who mentioned in verse 32. Gideon defeated the Midianites. I know y'all were looking at me like a child of brand new day. Said, who's the Midianites? They're bad people, but like Barak, yes. Our president, Barack Obama, his name after Barack, would have brought me blessing. We say in Hebrew like this, Baruch. Baruch, some of you have learned that prayer and say, Baruch, I am a blessed are you, O Lord our God. Blessed. That's what Barack means. We don't have to do in Gideon. Barack, Samson, Samson, the shining one. What did he do? He defeated the Philistines. We know who the Philistines are. They're still in the news today. That's the Gaza Strip, still fighting Israel. The Canaanites, still in the news today. The Syrians. The Ammonites, that's who Jephthah defeated. But what do we really know about Gideon? What do we really know about Barak? What do we really know about Samson and Jephthah? And I don't have time to go into great detail, but I do want to encourage you, if you get touched by this message today, to read up on Gideon and find out what he did. In fact, there's an entire organization out there that is worth your prayers, worth your financial support, worth you getting involved in, called the Gideons of America. And what they do is take the Word of God. They're the ones who put it in your hotels. They're the ones who operate at schools. They're the ones who put it in airplanes and airports. And you find that Bible laying around. Some Gideon left it. Somebody say amen. Gideon. Boy, they're a picture of God. Maybe Gideon defeated the Midianites. Barak defeated those Canaanites. Samson defeated the Philistines, and Jephthah defeated the Ammonites. Well, these four men are mentioned only here in the New Testament. In fact, ought to make us pay attention. In fact, it should make us raise up and say, hey, what you talking about here? This is the only time they are mentioned in the New Testament. We also need to know that each of these four men had significant character flaws. In case you didn't know, we all do. Someone say amen. You are not perfect. There was no plastic saints there. But also, he was talking about these real men, flesh and blood heroes, and God considered honored despite of their fall. Some of you have taken time with me on Monday nights, and I do my Monday night classes, and I love to bring the realism of Christianity to you. When you get to see Father Abraham isn't just a story. Father Abraham was a real, live, flesh and blood person who had marriage problems, who had faith problems, who had family problems, and he, through Jesus Christ, conquered them all. That's what we need. You get to learn those things. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, real people with real problems. Just like us. These four have real problems as well. Their faith was like ours, mingled with fear. I don't think, and I'm stretching too far to say, the majority of Christians today, faith is mingled with fear. We're afraid to talk to Islam people. Did you know that? We're afraid to talk to Sikhs. We're afraid to talk to somebody whose claims are an evolutionist, even though our Bible says that person's a fool. That's right. We're afraid to talk to them because we're afraid they'll make us feel foolish, huh? We're afraid to argue with academic types because they say, oh my goodness, you don't know how old the earth is. Oh my goodness, let me tell you something, and I need you to listen to me right now. I need you to come in close, put this on your refrigerator door. Our God created this world in 6 days from nothing. Yeah, he did. Not 6 million years, not 6 billion years. He made it in 6 days. He made dinosaurs as well. You better believe he did. And he destroyed it with a flood. In fact, the Bible tells us the next time the story is going to be with a fire. These people's faith was like ours, mingled with fear. Soil of unbelief, doubt,
body would compromise for old troubles like human need. And God knew all about their fault, but he honored their faith anyway. Yet, still was a true faith. Imperfect, mind you. Had the flaws, but faith nonetheless. God knew all about their fault, but he honored their faith anyway. Now, every Hebrew who's ever taken a look in the book of Hebrews, never read that, knows exactly what the author of Hebrews is talking about when he mentions those four people. We don't, because we're Gentiles. You know what? There's a blessing for being a Gentile. Some will say we want to be Jews. No, we don't. We want to be Gentiles because we like bacon. Somebody say amen. We like catfish. Yeah. We like shrimp. We like lobster. Praise God for the freedom in Jesus Christ. While I'm on the subject, let me remind you, when you become a Christian, then Jesus makes you dead to the law, but alive in the Spirit. And when you're dead to the law, this body doesn't matter what you eat. That's why it's irrelevant if you eat a ham sandwich. I know some of you are going to go home from church if you haven't had a ham today. Praise God. You were under the Old Testament, you couldn't have that, and that's sin. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, you're dead to the law, and you're alive in Jesus Christ. That's why it's irrelevant with you. How many of you think God's going to say, you get to go to heaven or you go to hell because you ate a ham sandwich? That's trash, isn't it? Well, now you, but just the lust of the ham sandwich would have been enough to send me to hell. I'm confessing this morning. Confessing. God knew exactly who those four guys were. And every Hebrew who reads them knows who those four guys were. And they knew what their families were. They knew about Gideon's fleece, his golden fleece. They knew about Barak. They also knew about Deborah. They knew about Samson and about Delilah. They knew about Jephthah's foolish friends. So number one, if you look at our four crackpot who God used anyways. Cracked faith, cracked morality, cracked theology. God used them anyway. You might be sitting in the pew this morning, and you might be online saying, Kim Todd used me, Pastor. I want you to know now, listen to me, but all in your heart, if God can still use Gideon, if God still use Jephthah, if God still use Barak, he can still use you. Amen. Not one of us are cracked as bad as you guys. Gideon was doubtful. He was. Gideon was doubtful. I don't have time. Like the author of Hebrews says, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon. What happened with Gideon? You know what happened with Gideon. Gideon gets a visit by the angel of God and says, you, not once, not twice, but three times, are going to deliver my people. You're going to lead them. You're going to deliver them militarily. And Gideon was like, did you really say that to me, God? Did you really say that to me, God? And I'm talking to you this morning. Are you one of those people who sat in the pew? Are you one of those people who's online right now? And no matter what God says, you always say, did you really say that to me? You're Gideon this morning. And I'm preaching to you. And let me tell you, the author of the book of Hebrews was preaching to you. Because that makes us crackpots. Gideon was one of those, and God, did you really say that to me? I need some reassurance. Is that you this morning? I want you to know there's a reassurance for you this morning. Gideon was doubtful. I don't have time to tell about Gideon. Because the author of Hebrews, why? Because you all already know. Like Gideon, we often ask God to reassure us. God, are you really calling me, God? Did you really call me to the ministry, God? Did you really call me to teach a Sunday school class? God, are you calling me to Michigan with Pastor? God, are you telling me to do this? Let me tell you something. Learn from Gideon. Gideon's doubts were real, and Gideon's doubts helped him grow. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're not sitting there fighting with doubts of where to go or what to do, but you're fighting with doubts of Chinese. Going to be a part of the church. Maybe I should start my own church in my own living room. A lot of people say, go right ahead. I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't do that at all. I'm telling you, get with God's people, get with the body of God's believers, and find out what God is doing. And let me tell you, when you find out what God is doing, you're going to realize there's lost people for you to reach. Yeah, although I do. You're going to get them from your living room. You're going to get them in God's people's house. And that's where you are this morning. And you're like Gideon, saying, God, will you talk to me? Did God really speak to me? Did God really reveal this to me? You know, Gideon, let me tell you about Gideon. Gideon is one of my favorite guys. Not only does he win an awesome military victory, but Gideon does what we've all done. God, can you prove it to me? Are you in the pew right now saying this? God, can you prove this to me? God, let the preacher say this. God, let the preacher speak. Have you ever said that before? I once was so tempted to put up on the marquee. Have you been asking God for a sign? Here it is. Come to church Sunday. I have been so tempted to do that. God, give me a sign. You know what Gideon did? After an angel spoke to him physically, face to face, Gideon puts out a golden fleece of God. If this is really what you want me to do, can you make this fleece dry in the morning? In other words, when the dew comes down, would you let the fleece stay dry and let the ground all around it be wet? I may have the orders reversed, but that's what he does. And of course, he wakes up in the morning, and that's what happens. His fleece was dry. And then he says, well, you know what? I need one more day to find out if this is really God. So God, would you let the fleece be wet tomorrow morning and the ground be dry? And it happens. Well, am I preaching to you this morning? You've been sitting there saying, God, do you want me to repent of my sin? God, do you want me to come home? God, can I get saved? God, do you want me to get baptized? God, do you want me a part of this church? And what you're really doing is what Gideon did. Can you make this place wet? Can you make this place dry? I want to remind you, listen to me now, there's nothing too difficult for our God. Amen? There's nothing too difficult. So that's going to bring us to our next part as we're looking in Barak this morning here. As we're looking in Gideon this morning. Gideon had put out his golden fleece. Every Jew knew what Gideon's problem was. He had that problem of doubt. God, would you really say this to me? And that may be what you're struggling with this morning. Or perhaps what you're struggling with online. Say, God, did you really talk to me? God, did you really call me? God, did you really tell me that I should be your preacher, your minister? You know, I want you to know the answer is absolutely, positively yes. He's called you, and he's told every one of us in his great commission to take his gospel to every creature of this world. Oh, Gideon, I'm not quite so sure. God, can you say it again? God, can you redo it? You know, I'm reminded of teenagers. And I love to pick on teenagers because I got a house full of them at the moment. What are teenagers known for? Wishy-washiness. What is wishy-washiness? Well, you said this, but I don't think you really meant it. Yeah. Or they expect you to understand what they're saying by mental. That's the word. I wasn't going to say it because I'm tongue twisted, y'all. So it'll come out. Mental telepathy. As it comes out that way, you should have known what I was thinking. This is what I was thinking. How come you didn't understand that, Mom or Dad? Because I can't read mine. And I want you to know something. God can handle your questions like Gideon. God can even handle your doubts. God can handle your reassurance. Do you need to be reassured this morning? Then I've got a scripture for you. The Bible tells us God has demonstrated his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Gideon needs to be reassured. Maybe you need to be reassured this morning. God, am I in the right place? Yes, you're in the right place. God, am I in the right church? Yes, you're in the right church. Why are you in the right church? Because we're a Bible-believing church. Because we're a Bible-preaching church. Because we believe that our God is still the head of the church. We also believe that the gate of hell will never prevail against this church. We believe in the Great Commission. We still share the gospel. We still see sinners saved. We still see people baptized into this kingdom. And we still believe in the power of God Almighty. The right church. You need to be reassured again? Yes, God's telling you to be a part of his people. Yes, God's telling you to read his word. Yes, God's telling you to be a witness of his word. Yes, God's telling you to share the gospel with everybody all around you. Gideon. Let's look at the second one. Barak. Some of you are already thinking, Barack Obama, don't do it, don't do it. Barak was afraid. Did you know that? And you might be afraid. You know, the Revelation tells us, all fearful. Don't be afraid. don't know you, but there's a lot of things that make me scared. You know what makes me scared? A mad Betsy, amen? I have been in prison riots, y'all. Convicted killers, murderers, child molesters, child kidnappers walking around me, behind my back. Not a one of those ever afraid me like my mad wife, listen. I will hush up quick. Barako was afraid. That author, he who tells us, I don't have time to tell you about Barako. You know why? Because we already know. Especially if you do, you already know what happened to Barako. See, whenever you mention Barako's name, you must add another name with it. It's not just Barako. It's Deborah and Barako. Somebody say amen. Who was Deborah? She's not his wife, just in case you didn't know that. Deborah was the only female judge of Israel. She was. The spiritual life of Israel, now listen to me, the spiritual life of Israel had fallen so low that the nation was now being led by a woman. I know some of you are getting mad, saying, oh, you chauvinistic pig. No. Their spiritual life had sunk so low, they're now being led by a woman. This is no knock on Deborah, though, because she's clean and brave. She's the sister. She's bold. Once again, have you met 24 women? They're all brave, disciples, and bold. Why? Because us men have become afraid. I am preaching to you. She judged Israel because none of the men would step up and do the job. God was going to deliver the Israelites from the Canaanites, and he told Deborah to call. And so I want to encourage you to read that story in Judges chapter 5. Read about it. But I'm going to go over with him because the writer of Hebrews assumes that you know about it. He don't have time to talk about it, but you should know about it. And incidentally, God still used Barako, even though he was afraid. You scared this morning? Oh, Pastor, if I step out of those two, people are going to look at me. Oh, Pastor, if I come down the aisle, people are going to look at me. Oh, Pastor, if I'm back there in the fellowship hall, they're going to be talking about me. No, they're not. Barako accepted the assignment, no problem. He needed something. In fact, if you read through the story, you'll find out Barako says, yeah, I'll go. But I only go to war if you come with me. Barako said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. See, Barako needed something. And that may be where you're at this morning. It was almost as if Barako was thinking, I'm not so sure God is with me. I know he's with you, Deborah. So if you come with me, I'll go. Maybe that's where you're at right now. You'll come to church with mom. You'll come to church with dad. You'll come to church with one of your friends. You ain't going by yourself. You're not for sure God is with you. Or you might be sitting there saying, well, grandma's coming. Aunt's coming. Grandpa's coming. Brother's coming. Sister's coming. Whatever it may be. And you say, they will be the ones that take me. Mom, you got to come on your own. Barako was sitting there thinking, I won't go unless you come with me. I'm not so sure. This is my interpretation of Barako. I'm not so sure God is here with me. But I know he is with me. So if you come with me, Deborah, I'll go. Now I want to take just a second to speak to you. It's a man's job to saddle up and face the enemy. Can I get an amen on that? Excuse me for saying that. That's just pathetic. It's a man's job to saddle up and face the enemy. Being a man means having courage in the face of great danger, but Barako won't even go to battle. He lets the devil go with him. That's pathetic, amen? In case you think I'm being a little too hard on the guy, check out what Deborah says in response. She says, very well. Now, I'll paraphrase here. She says, very well. I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera, that would be the enemy general, over to a woman. That's pathetic. That is pathetic, and maybe your fear this morning is controlling you. Maybe your fear of what people are thinking, maybe your fear of what people are saying, maybe your fear of What will God do? Let me tell you something. I want to tell you what God will do when you come down the aisle. I want to tell you what God will do when you repent of your sins. My Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who comes back home. My Bible says there's a party up in heaven. I want you to know where I got saved. My church family stood up and said there's a new name written down in heaven, and it's Joshua. And they sang that here in this sanctuary, and I'll never forget that. And I believe that if you come down the aisle this morning, not only will the angels rejoice, but all the brothers and sisters of Robinson Avenue will rejoice with you. You might say, oh, I'm afraid. Somebody's got to come with me. Even Deborah was a great leader in her own right. Didn't like his response. What a namby-pamby, mealy-mouthed, wishy-washy answer do I do? Can you imagine John Wayne talking like that? No. Maybe this is where you are this morning. Praise God. Oh, God, when I pray you're not hearing me, I want you to know something. If you're a Christian, God hears your prayer. I also want you to know something else, husbands. And I'm talking about men, if you haven't noticed this morning. We're the most crackpot people there are. If you are not right with your wife, God isn't listening to your prayer. You can read about that in 1st and 2nd Peter. Maybe this is where you are this morning. You're afraid God isn't with you. And maybe you think that taking someone with you will guarantee that God will go. You don't need to take someone with you. What you need to do is come to Jesus. For God so loved the world. In fact, you can take the world out, put your name in it. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that if you will just believe, you will have life eternal. Let's look at the third guy because I'm running out of time. Quickly now. Shimon, Shimon, Samson. What did Samson do? He wasn't afraid. I don't think Samson was afraid of anything. In fact, he was a little big-headed, going like this. Samson sinned. Samson sinned. He didn't need reassurance. He thought that God would always be with him and never, ever, ever depart. He took God for granted. He treated God like he was a co-pilot instead of the pilot. Samson sinned. Maybe I'm talking to you. He said, Pastor, I sinned. I got a past sin. We can't be forgiven. Oh, how wrong you are. Oh, Pastor, I've got a path that no one can work around. Oh, how wrong you are. That's the author of the book of Hebrews said, I don't have time to think about that. Why? Because you don't already know about it. Folks, we know that he's going to outline the story. We know that he defeated the Philistines. And we know that Delilah tricked him and revealed the secret of his strength. Just a little while ago, I had long hair, and somebody came up to my ear and said, Pastor Joshua, if you run away and hide in a barbershop bar, we will never find you. Woo, Betsy wanted Delilah on me. Lost all that strength, man. We know that defeated the Philistines. We know that Delilah tricked him into revealing the secret of his strength. And we know about his eyes being poked out and how he gained revenge by killing 3,000 Philistines in one of the most dramatic death scenes in the Bible. But there is much more to Samson. He was, listen to me now, bear with me for a second, he was the American Idol of the Old Testament. Amen? They even have American Idol. That tells you how much TV I watch. I don't even know if they have it anymore. But he was the American Idol of the Old Testament. He had it all. Good looks, great strength, popularity, and the blessing of God. And he threw it all away. But his life, it can truly be said that he had unlimited potential. No man in the Bible started out with as much going for him. No man ended with less. He had it all, and he let it all get away. Possible. Be empowered by the Spirit of God to do great things and yet not have your life fully yielded to the control of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Samson is a bristling bundle of contradictions. I love Samson. He was a man of faith with a weakness for women. Right? He was a man of prayer given to uncontrollable fear of anger. Am I talking to you this morning? came here, Samson, and he said, Pastor, I got that sin, and God still used it. I want you to know you got to learn from Samson.
That's what the author of Hebrews said. I don't have time to talk about him because I think you already know about him. What made Samson so great wasn't his long hair, but that in the end, Samson learned that faith and repentance and trust in God is all you need.
Samson was the leader of Israel. And he also lusted after Philistine women. How many of you know that's a sin?
He was a man of God who lacked common sense.
Most pastors.
He was empowered by the Spirit, and he often lived in the flesh.
Now, your pastor is an exception to that.
He was empowered by the Spirit, yet he often lived in the flesh.
That's Samson. My opinion, he was a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma.
He's listed in Hebrews 11 as a man of faith.
And when we read Samson's story, we tend to think that his problem was all in the sexual area. Actually, though, the problem is not in the sexual area.
Most basic problem is that he never learned how to control his mind.
You that have self-control.
How do you know that's a fruit of the Spirit? God's Spirit makes us what? Loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, gentle, joyful, and
self-control.
Can't control yourself?
Sensitive.
You're going to find out God has a way of making you big, strong-headed people weak.
First, he's filled with lust, Samson is.
And then he's filled with anger. And then he's full of lust again and anger again. And then lust and anger again. He's riding an emotional roller coaster. Am I talking to you this morning? From the peak to the valley and around a sharp corner. And then he does it all over again.
One moment he's worshiping God. And the next moment he's filled with lust.
Samson never learned to control his emotions.
And so they controlled him completely. Now, Proverbs 16:32 says something really neat.
It could have been written about Samson personally. It says better, and I'm paraphrasing, but it says better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a stick.
And in his day, Samson had taken more than one stick. But he absolutely positively never learned to control his temper.
He never learned how to rule his spirit.
How do you know what the Bible tells us?
The Bible tells us that a soft answer turns to the ground. The Bible tells us that a wise servant will rule over a foolish servant.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Man to man. Don't be afraid. Here's the point. Some of us have become Christians, and I praise God for that. And as Christians, we are the sons of God. You ever read John chapter 1? And those that received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. John 1 verse 12. You become a child. But you know what happens when we act foolishly? We get ruled over by circumstances. We get ruled over by that.
Some of us need to go back to being God's children, back to listening to God, our Father.
Samson never knew the first thing about Samson.
In the end, his runaway emotions ran away with him.
Samson's zigzag life teaches us that it's very possible to be empowered by the Spirit of God to do great things and yet not have your life deal with the full control of the Holy Spirit. Samson, at certain points, was empowered by the Spirit of God, and he's deeply flawed, though, just like most of us. Am I preaching to you this morning? You might not be afraid, you might not need assurance, but perhaps you need. Samson is deeply flawed just like most of us, and he finds himself continually battling anger and illicit desire just like most of us. Incidentally, it's in my experience to believe that anger and illicit desire is hand in hand. He could sometimes do amazing things, Samson could, just like most of us. He could do wonderful things for God and then turn around and lose his temper and blow his witness. He could turn right around and make incredibly stupid mistakes, just like most of the believers. And yet, he began to do this to convince him, just as the angel of the Lord said he would in Judges 13 verse 5.
He showed up in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and God said he's a man of faith.
And that's what I'm talking to this morning. You might be saying, Pastor, I am without a doubt a Gideon, and I need
some reassurance. You might say, Pastor, I am a Barak, and I need to know that you're with me, because if I don't know you're with me, I ain't going anywhere. Perhaps say, Pastor, I know you're with me, and I know you called me. Man, I got this same problem. Will you still use me? And that's where you are this morning. And you're saying right now in your heart, can God forgive me? I want to know the answer is absolutely yes. Can God still use me? The answer is absolutely yes. How do I know? Because of your sin. Look at the fourth guy quickly now. Jephthah was foolish. And I know you want me to talk about Jephthah's foolish vow. You know what Jephthah's vow was? Jephthah, let me tell you a little bit about Jephthah. Quickly now, Jephthah was born from a prostitute. That's right. He's an illegitimate child. And he grows up, and everybody in the neighborhood hates Jephthah because he's an illegitimate child. They treat him like trash. So, consequently, he runs out, finds a bunch of other vagrants and vagabonds, starts a gang with them, and becomes a gang leader in Israel. I'm paraphrasing, that's what he does. And then the enemy starts coming around and says, we're going to conquer you. And they go to Jephthah and say, you're the toughest guy in the world. You talk so much trash in the neighborhood, you got to be able to talk trash to these people. So, Jephthah accepts the job. And while being filled with God's Spirit, while becoming a godly person, he makes the stupidest boast he ever made. Do you know preachers like that? Do you know ministers like that? Perhaps I'm talking to you this morning. And somewhere in your ministry, things are going great, and you said something that ruined somebody's life. You said something that hurt somebody's heart. And you stepped down and said, I'll never minister again. I'll never preach again. I'll never teach again. I'll never do anything but sit in the pews again. I want you to know that you can be used by Jephthah. Apostle Paul, in my opinion, writing the book of Hebrews, says, I don't have time to tell you about Jephthah. Because you already know. First verse of Judges chapter 11 tells you this section about Jephthah. Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Don't overlook that last line. His mother was a prostitute. Not a very promising beginning, is it? Maybe that's part of why he was such a great warrior. Could you imagine the fights he had to have as a kid? I'm sure everyone knew about his past and many people held it against him. Things like that type of man to prove himself over and over and over again. When he grew up, his own family turned against him, so he ran away, gathered up a group of thugs, and joined the gang. That's Jephthah. He's a man from a bad background who becomes an Old Testament gang leader. Sounds like the kind of guy we want as a model for faith, doesn't it? When the Ammonites attacked, the men of Israel asked Jephthah to come back home and lead them in battle because he was their best warrior. They ought to know. Every one of them beat up by him. After some negotiation, he accepts their offer. Then he begins to negotiate with the Ammonites, reminding them that they had no quarrel with Israel. Of course, they didn't win. Jephthah makes a foolish mistake that will haunt him forever, and is the one fact most of us remember about Jephthah. We don't remember that he was born of a prostitute. We don't remember that he was a gang leader. We don't remember that the people come out and say, lead us to victory. We remember, though, just one mistake. What was his mistake? That he's empowered. He says, you know what? God, if you give me victory, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my door when I get home. I don't know what you're thinking, but I can tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking when I get home, you know who usually beats everybody out the door? My dog. And there's amen in the Baptist church. I don't know what he had in those days. He might have had a cat. He might have had a rabbit. I don't know what he might have had. Donkey, horse, I don't know. Guarantee you want a pig, though. Whatever comes out the door, I'm going to sacrifice it. He never dreamed it'd be his dog. People want to say, Pastor, didn't do it. Hey, man, I believe what the Bible said. I'm going to need to get that. What does the Bible say? And that's what he's been purchased at. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him as he prepared to go into battle. And at that moment, he made a foolish mistake. We'll haunt him forever. That's the one fact we remember about him to this day. He vowed that if the Lord would help him win the battle, he would offer to the Lord a burnt offering. And the first day he came to the doors of the house and would return home from fighting the Ammonites, this is Judges 11, 30 to 31, no doubt. He expected that first thing to be an animal of some sort. To his shock and his dismay, it turned out to be his dog and his only child coming out to welcome him home. Hopefully, you say, Pastor, can you preach on Diddy or Diddy? The point we need to see this morning is that Jephthah spoke. He spoke without thinking. He spoke rashly. And that may be describing you this morning. And you say, Pastor, I've got something in my past where I said something. I dropped a name that I was supposed to keep in my heart. And someone's now accusing me of not being trustworthy. And I'll never minister again. I'll never preach again. I want you to know that if God can use Jephthah, He can most certainly use you. It is where you are tonight. You said something you can't quite do. God still uses you. Hard to get your mind around all that, isn't it? Lessons from four crack pots. You've seen Gideon, you've seen Barak, you've seen Samson, and you've seen Jephthah. So what do we think about these four flawed heroes? Gideon was doubtful to answer God's call. Are you sure you're calling me? Can you reassure me again and again and again and again? Barak, so timid, he needed a woman. I ain't going unless you go with me. I think it's funny. Growing up, I never once saw a 16-year-old girl go to the bathroom by herself. She always went packed with her friends. Samson couldn't control his emotions. He gave in to sin. That's what I did this morning. And Jephthah spoke. Gosh. These are seriously flawed men, yet they made the fuck. What's the other one reminds you about God's word? It does not come back worse. Somebody say amen. There's room for them. There's room for you and me. God uses flawed people to demonstrate His grace so that when the victory is won, He always can feel on you. Why would God use them like this? God uses flawed people to demonstrate His grace. Some of you are already doing that. God used flawed people to demonstrate His grace so that when victory is won, He alone is. Paul experienced the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 12. In fact, I'm going to repeat what the author of Hebrews said. You already know. I shouldn't even have to tell you this. You already know. You've heard me preach. You taught it. You preached it yourself. Paul's struggling. He's struggling in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's struggling. We like to talk about Paul the apostle. We've all talked about Paul the saint. We like to talk about Paul the preacher, Paul the theologian, Paul the epistle writer, the Bible writer. We don't talk a lot about Paul. Paul is struggling with emotion, with flesh, with doubt, and of course that dreaded happened to every preacher. Why me? It's like he cries out to God, why me? Some of you know what Paul is going on here. You don't know 100% what Paul's going on here. I've heard it preached about being Mark and how Paul had treated Mark in those early missionary days. Remember how John Mark had departed from him, and later on at the end of the ministry, when Paul was getting ready to die in 2 Timothy, he says, send to me, John Mark, he's profitable to be for the ministry. And maybe that was the thorn. I don't know. I think it's part of it. I think there's something more to it. Not to give you a lot. I mean, I'm a theologian, so what I give you is an opinion. This is my opinion. I think the Apostle Paul on that long Damascus road was struck blind, and we read about him getting struck back. We like to think of him getting 20/20 back, don't we? But what if he only gets back enough to see? How do I know this? Because Galatians tells us. The church at Galatia looks at Paul and says, man, if we can rip out our eyes and give them to you, we would. That means Paul has what we all have when you don't have eyeglasses. Headaches. You ever not wore your glasses very long? You will get a headache. You ever strain trying to read something? I would tear those eyes out and give them to you, Paul. I don't think Paul has such a vision anymore. I think he can see. Absolutely. But that vision is not going to be lost. And then Paul sits there one night as he writes 2 Corinthians. He's talking about being up in the third heaven. He's talking about blessings. He's talking about spiritual maturity, knowing God, knowing the mind of God. And he's been there. He laid his hands on dead people when they were resurrected. Laid his hands on people demon possessed, and the demons cast out on sick people and they were healed. And he says, God, would you give me back my sight? And God says, ah. My grace is sufficient. Look at me in 2 Corinthians 12. He said to me, and incidentally, I want to remind you, it's a thorn in his flesh. If you did it for them, why won't you do it for me? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weeded out. And I said, Buffy, and you said to me this morning, saying, I'm a crackpot pastor. And as a crackpot, I doubt whether God called me. God can be glorified in your weakness. If you will turn it over to Him, this old pastor, I'm doubting whether God's with me or not. I want you to know God can be glorified in your weakness. Would you be willing to come and say, God, use me this morning? A pastor say, oh, pastor, I've sinned and God can't use me. I want you to know God can be glorified in your repentance. Would you be willing to come and have Him forgive you this morning? A pastor say, pastor, I misspoke. I spoke hastily. I didn't understand. I didn't know. And what I said is now haunting me everywhere I go. I got to look this person in the face. I want you to hear the words of the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, says the Apostle Paul, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Gideon was doubtful, but God used him anyways. Amen? Barak needed assurance and God used him anyway. Samson did a lot of dumb stuff, but God used him anyway. And Jephthah made a terrible mistake, but God used him anyway. Finally, I think it comes down to this. Either we believe in the redeeming grace of God or we don't. Do you think He can save you? Do you think He can forgive you? Do you think He can use you? If you do, then you won't be surprised if God includes these four flaws. Crackpot heroes in the whole thing. That means that God uses people like us too. Like Gideon, we're slow to answer the call. Like Barak, we need someone else to push us. And you're like, okay, perhaps you're pushing me right now. Like Samson, we let our emotions guide us wrongly. Like Jephthah, we say things that hurt others and ourselves. Maybe women come to me and say, Pastor, God's calling me to be a part of all time in that church. God's calling me to be a Christian. God's calling me to the ministry. God's calling me for forgiveness. Not just that, you might be saying, I need to forgive somebody. Whatever the case may be, I'm going to ask you right now to do business with God. Not me, with God. We're going to close in that word of prayer. And if He's spoken to you, would you humble yourself and come this morning? Let's pray together. Father, I come to now in Jesus' name. And oh, how I thank you, Lord God, for your word. It is quick. And it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord God, it will cut down into our hearts right now, through our bones, into our marrow, Lord God, because your word is the discerner of our hearts and the thoughts and the intents of our minds, Lord. And I pray right now that there be anyone who says, I've sinned like Samson. Let them come and receive forgiveness to me. Or anyone, Lord God, said, I spoke hastily like Jephthah. Would you let them know, Lord, you can change them and make them. Or perhaps, Lord, there's one that says, I doubt. Would you let them know, Father God, that you are the great doubt remover? I also pray, Lord, for them that need a little reassurance right now. You to reassure them. Let them know you're with them. You'll never leave them nor forsake them. And bring them, Father God, to speak. And we bless you, we praise you, and give you all the glory in Jesus. Will you come as we sing? Wherever He needs, I'll go. Will you come to Him? Would you come this morning? Come this morning. Come on. Will you come this morning? Will you come this morning? Are you a Jephthah and you spoke too harshly? Come on. Are you a Samson and you're living in sin? Come on. Are
Are you a genius and you need to be reassured? Come on. Are you up a rock and you need to know God is with you? Come on. Would you come this morning?
Well, amen. God bless you all. Hope you enjoyed the time of worship here with us. Love, Sandy, and Baptist Church. Don't forget, we'll be meeting back here at 4:30 for our fellowship meal with the United Baptist Association of Texas. Be there or be square. Amen. Come and be a part of that. Understand, we're having meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Must be a Baptist church on the menu. Amen. Come and be a part of that. Also, church, we'll be having a few breakout sessions at 5:30. The ministers' wives and things like that will be breaking apart. And, of course, the executive board will break apart to conduct business. We'll meet back in the sanctuary at 6 to actually go over that business, vote on that business. If you're a messenger, we'll have these are three of you. So you know who you are, you'll be able to vote on that business then. And we'll go into our time of worship. Should be done by about 7:10, somewhere around there. We should get to meet lots and lots and lots of brothers and sisters from other churches in Central Texas to come and be a part of that. Don't miss out on that. We have about 60 people, RSVP, from other churches, and so I'm hoping that you guys will be about 45 or 50. In fact, I'd rather do 200 on top of the 60. So praise God in that. Come be a part of it and fellowship with us in that. Also, church, don't forget to pray about an upcoming mission trip. Don't forget to pray about our garage sale, rummage sale, vendor sale coming up on Saturday. And don't forget to pray that God will continue to use Rob's family in a wonderful way. We're going to close in that word of prayer today. Yes, Vacation Bible School. Thank you for VBS coming up in June as well. In fact, the registration is open right now for VBS. So if you want to register your young ones for Vacation Bible School, go to rabcco.org, go to church forms, the church paperwork, online forms, and you will find registration for Breaker Rock Beach Vacation Bible School. So you can find that right there. All right, let's close in that word of prayer. And since Stephanie, you spoke out loud, would you close us in prayer, ma'am?